should be in Psalm 27. Anybody too cold? Good. All right. Princess. Just because your name is Princess doesn't mean you get everything you want. I mean, you know. Thank you. Well, you know, you're from Nigeria? Liberia. I wasn't sure. I know we have Liberia and Nigeria. Hey, but that's close. Liberia and Nigeria are close. Same continent. Now, the names had nothing to do with each other. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to take care of you. Good. Well, this morning we conclude Psalm 27. And boy, what a blessing this psalm has been to me. The Lord is my light. Isn't that wonderful? And this week I was listening to some sermons, and the man was talking about why the world hates Christians. And by the way, the world doesn't mind Christians who are Christian in name, but not in practice. That's okay. In fact, they'll glorify them. But the world hates Christians because you are the light of the world. God is the light. Jesus Christ came into the light of the world. He said, now you're the light. And I tell you what, folks, darkness doesn't like light. Yeah. If the world likes you, maybe the problem is we're not shining bright enough for the Lord. When you start being a light in the world, folks, and living a righteous life, the world's going to have some problem with that. But what a joy to know that God is our light. In darkness, in times of difficulty, in whatever, God is our light. And we go through and he talks about God being our light and our salvation, our strength, all those wonderful things. And then in the last verse, in verse 13, he's going to give a personal testimony. And then in verse 14, this sweet psalm turns ugly. And David uses a four-letter word that I don't like. In fact, it's something I don't like to do. Now, I'm not the world's most impatient person, although someone may disagree with that. But I'll just be honest with you. If you look at verse 14 and look at the first word, you see that word. What is it? Have you liked to wait? I mean, if you're standing and there's three lines, you jump in the longest line so you can wait, right? Nobody liked that. And we get down to the end of this psalm and he says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We're going to talk about that, see what that means. But let me remind you about what we've seen so far. Number one, we looked at David's record of God's help in verses 1 through 3. And what a joy. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Believers, we should not live in fear. Shouldn't do it. Now, hey, can I stop just for a second? Church, we should not live in fear. I've had a lot of people. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I don't have a clue. God does. God's got a plan. God's got a good plan. Okay? Don't live in fear. We should not live in fear. He said, in the past, God has helped me defeat the enemies. In the future, even though I go against a great host, God's going to take care of me. And then we saw his response to God's help. He said, God's presence gives me light, deliverance, salvation. He is my strength. And therefore, what am I going to do in verse 4? What did he say? One thing, if I desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life. What does he want? He wants the presence of God in his life. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Now, don't you just want to know the presence of God? Now, I mean, salvation is not a feeling. I know that. It's a fact. Fact. You trust Christ. He said, if you trust me, you will be saved. Okay, it's a fact. But don't you enjoy the times when the Spirit of God just does something special in your life and you can say, wow, God is working. God is here. God is doing a work of mine. That's what David said. He said, I've got to know his presence. And he said, when I know his presence, boy, I'm just going to sing praises to God and be full of joy. It's going to be wonderful. Wonderful. By the way, I think we saw that in Christy today. She didn't look real sad about that, did she? That's great news. She's been praying for mom. We've been praying for mom. It's not lung cancer. It's scar tissue. Well, hallelujah. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I guarantee you, she said, praise the Lord. I guarantee you. If you didn't, you sure should have. I'm sure she had. I mean, we already did that. And he said, look, when I know God's presence, God's help, boy, it brings joy, and I'm just going to praise the Lord for his goodness. So we see his response to God's help. Thirdly, we looked last week at his request for God's continued help. And once you've experienced God's working in your life, don't you just want to see it continue? And he said, Lord, don't turn your back on me. Lord, hear my cry. Lord, lead me, direct me in a plain path. Boy, I like that. I'll be real honest. Can I just say something? Okay? And this is not all about me. But though this move is difficult, though there have been times when my wife and I have said, what are we doing? We're leaving a wonderful place. It's just God has done a work, and we've seen the Lord bless. But I'll be honest with you. It's a clear path for us. It really is. Now, did God show up and say, Gary, go down to Florida? No, he didn't. It'd been a lot easier if he had. Any time now. But boy, the door is just wide open. It's a clear path. Not an easy path. A clear path. And that's what he prayed for. He said, Lord, help me, protect me, do a work in my life. All right, finally, David reminds others to seek God's help. And he starts in verse 13. And he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And why do you think he said it twice? For emphasis. Why? Because we don't want to wait. So let's look at it. David reminds others to seek God's help. And he does that, first of all, by giving a personal experience of receiving God's help. It's interesting. Verse 13, there are some words there that look a little different. Do you have that in your Bible? What do you see? Okay, what's different in verse 13 in some of the wording? It's in italics. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, it's not in the original text. They added it to help us to have better understanding. And it does. It does help to have better understanding. I had fainted. We're not in the original text. They added that. And really, what it is David is so overwhelmed at times in his life that he just kind of said, if I hadn't had the Lord's help. And he's really, it's a matter of emphasis. He said, David, oh, there are so many times in my life, if the Lord hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have made it. Let me just ask. How many of you would say, Gary, there have been times in my life, if the Lord hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have made it? Yeah. And we could spend the next 2 days, starting with Mark, and going around this room, and each of us talk about times when, boy, if God hadn't helped us. And that's David's testimony. And boy, you think of David's life, and we could go on and on about this. But you just stop and think about David. Well, let's just do it real quick. We can do this in 1 minute. What are some times in David's life that if God hadn't helped him, he was a goner? When Absalom was chasing his own son. What else? When Saul was chasing him. This guy was on the run a lot, wasn't he? Yeah. Now, the neat thing about Goliath, he wasn't running from Goliath, was he? He was running toward Goliath. Yeah, the lion, the bear, all those things. When he was living with the Philistines. Yeah, over and over and over again, you can talk about times when if God hadn't helped him, he was a goner. And that's his testimony, and I know that's your testimony too. Now, how did David weather the storms of life? Power of positive thinking. Isn't it amazing that that's still around? I Saturday evening, I'm kind of winding down from studying, and I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I turned the TV on last night, and this is my only chance to go to other churches, so I turn on the religious channels just for kicks, just to kind of see what's going on out there. And Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral, of course, it's gone. In fact, did you know that the Crystal Cathedral is now a Catholic archdiocese there in California? Isn't that nice? I think this is his grandson, though it's still on TV. Some of you send money to him. What's his name? It's an archdiocese. And so I flipped it through, and the choir was singing. They were doing old Negro spirits, and boy, they could sing. I tell you what, basses in the choir, Larry, I mean, they had a bass section. It was like, whoa, that was great. And then he got up, and he said, I'm going to start this series on my new book. And I don't remember the title, but it was the idea of positive mind, the positive thinking. Still going on. Hey, I guarantee you, folks, when David had trouble, he didn't go, positive. If I just think positive thoughts. Didn't happen. It wasn't his sheer willpower. He didn't dull his senses like with alcohol like the world does today. He didn't do any of those things. What did he do? Well, look in that verse. He says, I had fainted unless I had, what's the next word? Believed. He said, I've got something that I believe. He believed it. What did he believe? Oh, this is good. Unless I had believed to see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 34:8, David wrote, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Of course, we quote Romans 8:28 often, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them called according to his purpose. And by the way, I remind you, it does not say, we know that all things are good. We know they work together for good. And we've seen such an example of this in Lola Prillhart's life this week, where she has been having trouble for some time and has gone to doctors here, and they give her some medicine and send her home, you know, and don't really find out what the problem is. And the Lord had them in the right place at the right time. And though I'm sure it destroyed their vacation, you guys can come down to Fort anytime once you move and visit with us. We'll give you a real vacation. All right? And as I hear about these events and how that doctor went in and found several other problems that were wrong and fixed all of those things, and it was just the right doctor. This is a bad thing. You don't want to go to the hospital on vacation. That's not a good vacation. But it turned out to be a good thing for her and maybe spared her life because of that. And we see that all throughout Scripture. I think of, who's the poster boy for things looking bad but being good? I hear, who said it over here? Joseph. I mean, you look at this guy's life. And he had some dreams, which the Lord gave him, and the Lord is sovereign and all of that. And I'm sure his brothers weren't happy with him. So he goes to see his brothers out in the field. And it's amazing just the providence of God. He goes to the field and they've moved. They're not there anymore. What happened if he just said, well, I'm going home? But he didn't. Somebody in the field found him and said, oh, I know your brothers. They went over here to Dothan. So he went to find them, and what'd they do? Take him, threw him in a pit. That's bad, isn't it? How many want your family to throw you in a pit? Okay, and with the intention of killing you. That's bad. And then some people come along and his brothers say, hey, let's make some money off this boy, and they sell him. Good or bad? Bad. He goes down and works for a guy named Potiphar. And man, he just does a great job. Potiphar turns everything over to him until Potiphar's wife says, I want you. And he's falsely accused and he's thrown in prison. Good or bad? Bad. Everything about his life was bad. And yet, you know how the story ends, don't you? And Joseph comes and writes there and he says in Genesis 50:20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Good. I remember a story my dad used to tell about an elderly lady that came to the pastor, and she said, Pastor, everywhere I go, there's two men following me. I mean, I go to the grocery store, these two guys follow me. He said, I go downtown, these two guys follow me. He said, oh, I know who that is. That's goodness and mercy. Yeah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what, believer, we need to get it nailed down in our faith that God is good. And that God has a good plan for our life, and we need to trust Him. Now, I look around this room, and I see a lot of people who have gone through difficult situations. People who've lost family members. And you say, Gary, how can that be good? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that God is good. And I know that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives that is good. I can't explain all. I'm not God, but I know God is good. Now look, we need to get that nailed down in our heart. If you don't have it settled in your heart, when something bad happens, you're going to become a bitter, bitter Christian. And we need to say, you know what? I believe that I'm going to see goodness in the land of the living. I believe God's got something good, and God is, now I'm not saying, you know, something good is going to happen to you. That, something bad's going to happen to you, and I'd be right, but I can tell you this, in it, God has a plan. God has a plan. And again, I could take a lot of time right now and just say, wow, look at that, oh, wow. But look, the Bible says God is good. So what are you going to believe? And he said, I had fainted. He said, oh, I would have gone down unless I believed that I would see goodness in the land, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So this matter of faith, it takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? Because you look at your life at times and you think, wait a minute, how can that be good? It takes faith. But isn't that what the Christian life is all about? Four times in Scripture, it says the just or the justified ones shall live by feeling, facts, faith. What is faith? Just believing God. Believing God. What God says is true. We live in a society today where it says believing is, or they would say, actually, they would say seeing is believing. That's not the Christian life. It isn't. It is a walk of faith. And often in the Scripture, we're like Thomas. And what did Thomas say? Lord, unless I see it, unless I touch it, unless I feel it, I'm not going to believe it. You can't do that, Christian. You can't live that way. I can't live that way. It's a matter of faith that God is good, that God has a good plan, and He is going to work it all out for good. I don't understand it. There are certainly things in my life, and I look back and I think, seriously? That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. This excerpt from The Christian Secret to a Happy Life by Hannah Whitehall Smith. Listen carefully. It seems strange that people whose very name is of believers implies their one chiefest characteristic is that they believe should have to confess that they have doubts. Okay? Are you there? And yet it is such a universal habit that I feel if the name were to be given over and over again, the only fitting and descriptive name that could be given to many of God's children would have to be that of doubters. I verily believe doubting is dishonoring to Him, for it impugns His truthfulness and defames His character. John says that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, and it seems to me that hardly anything could be worse than just to thus to fasten on God the character of being a liar. Have you thought of this as the result of your doubting? Wow. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Have you read Pilgrim's Progress? Okay. Remember when they're on the way to the kingdom, they're on the king's highway, and things are a little tough, and they look over the fence in this. And there's this beautiful meadow with grass, and it looks nice, and it's And so they climbed the fence and they get on this and they called it Bypass Meadow. And they're on Bypass Meadow and they're making great time now. And they're moving right along until they realize that this is owned by the Giant Despair. And the Giant Despair captures them and he throws them. Anybody know where he threw them? The name of the castle? Doubting Castle. And they didn't feed and they didn't give me water and they just threw them in there. And boy, they were just in despair and they're going down. And the giant's wife said, you know what? You're going to kill them eventually. Why don't you just encourage them to kill themselves, commit suicide? Can you believe this was written like 500 years ago? I mean, it's like today. He said, just throw them in there. And so here they are. And Christian said, well, I'm not going to kill myself. And his traveling companion said, well, I'm not going to kill myself. So they stayed in there. And they're in despair and they're discouraged. They're in Doubting Castle. Have you ever been there, folks? Maybe my address ought to be Doubting Castle, Tennessee. I don't know. You know, boy, that's a place we all get. And they begin to pray. And Christian said, wait a minute. I've got this key around my neck. You know the name of the key? Promise. What gets you out of Doubting Castle? Promises of God. And they took that key and it opened their shackles, it opened the doors, and it opened the gates, and they got out of there and they got back out in the meadow and they climbed the fence and got back out of the road real quickly. Doubting Castle. Wow. Now David was a man who had great faith. He had problems too, didn't he? I think one of the great illustrations is when he was living, Mark mentioned, among the Philistines, and he went out to battle, and he'd left his family and everyone in Ziklag. You remember he came back, and his family was gone, all their goods were gone, and the people, what did the people want to do? They want to say, David, you're the man. We love you. Now, they were picking up rocks. They were picking up stones. They were going to kill the guy. And remember what it said in that passage? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow. There it is, folks. There it is. And Job, of course, we see did the same. Paul did the same. I'm going to skip all those so I can get done. Well, I'll give you one because it's my favorite. Acts 27. Paul's in a ship on his way to Rome. And the big storm, my favorite storm. Euroclydon. Isn't that, I mean, this storm, it's taking them down. They are going to die. And God comes to Paul and he said, hey, Paul, I know you're in a storm, but you're going to be okay. In fact, he said, everybody on the ship, if they'll stay on the ship, they're all going to live. And David stood before that crew the next day and said, now again, if you went by sight, what's going to happen? We're all dying. It's just over. And he said, look, be of good cheer. Why? For I believe God. Folks, this is the key. Be of good cheer. Why? I believe God. God's still on the throne. God has a plan. His promises are true. So he said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then finally, his exhortation for others to receive God's help. He's going to exhort us now. He said, all right, because of all the truths of this psalm, he said, wait on the Lord. And I'm not sure that that really means sit down and do nothing, although there's time for that. What do you think that word wait implies? Yes, sir. Okay. So give me a synonym. Reliance, dependence, trust. Okay. Yeah. I do think there is an element of wait. But I think it's also don't run ahead and do it your own way. Don't do your own thing. But wait for God. Depend on God. Yoke up with God and let Him do work in your life. And every one of us, we could also all give testimonies about times we didn't do that. Right? Had a decision to make, had a problem or something, and we just, I'll just be honest with you, I am not, one reason I don't like to fish. I mean, within 5 minutes, I'd be bored. Now, I guess if you catch things, that kind of helps, but I have gone fishing with Johnny on his, when he used to have a boat, and he gave me this, was it a lure? Is that what you call the thing? And you had to reel it in a certain speed so it would spin in a certain way. That was kind of neat, you know, because I was doing something. It wasn't just... I'm a man of action. I'm not a man who can just sit there and say, wait for the fish to bite. Just, you know. Now, the fact that every time I've gone fishing, I've never caught anything may have something to do with that. But at any rate, I am a man, when there's something that's going on, boy, my first inclination is, let's go, boys. Let's do something. Right or wrong, hallelujah, I'm going. And, of course, you know what that leads to. Yeah, because if you're wrong, now you think you had trouble before. Now, how about Abraham? Did Abraham have this problem? Yeah, God said, you're going to have a son. And the son didn't come. So Abraham said, I'll take care of that. And Ishmael was born. Good thing or bad thing? Yeah, and we're suffering from it even today. Saul had the same problem, by the way. The army was all gathering against him. Samuel had said, hey, in 7 days I'm going to come and sacrifice. And Saul's looking over that hill one way, and he's seeing this army. He's looking back this way, and there's no Samuel in sight. So what did he do? Yes, I forced myself for the good of the people. He was a good politician, wasn't he? The people made me do it, you know. He forced himself to offer a sacrifice, which was not his job. And because of that, God began to cut him off. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, he said, be of good courage. It's not... What's wrong with you? Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm just hoping he shows up. I don't know. Hope I can endure to the end. And be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And oh, look at the answer to all that. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. Oh, there's some great verses in the Bible. But let me just give you one for time's sake. You know it, Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord. What happens to people who will say, you know what? I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not going to just run off and do my own thing. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to depend on God. I'm going to wait for God to show me exactly what his will is. What happens to those kind of people? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. You know, eagles have 8-foot wingspan. Can you imagine? I don't know what mine is. How far is that, Mark? Tell me.
It's not eight.
And you watch videos of these eagles, and they're just soaring on the updrafts, and they're just gently, and they're mounting. Oh, it's just amazing. What an illustration for a believer. And he said, look, hey, you just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Well, put your confidence in him. Trust him, and God was going to give you the ability just to soar easily above all the problems. And it's going to be great. Wait on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Yoke up with the Lord. Now, I may be speaking to someone this morning that is very troubled. You've got things in your life, you don't know what to do. What's the answer? Hey, depend on your own thinking, your own logic. And just get out there and do it. No, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And I love it. And he says, hey, in case you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you again, wait on the Lord. Depend on the Lord and be courageous and depend on him and see what God can do in your life. And we're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Wow. The promises of God. What a song. What a song. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then he ends, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. On the Lord. Let's not be the society of doubters. Let's be a church of believers. Believers. Not just in salvation, but every day of our life. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's our admonition. Lord, we thank you for the promises of God. We thank you for David's testimony. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as believers to act like believers. And Lord, it's not always easy. There are times in our lives when we doubt. Oh my. Lord, help us by faith to wait on you, to depend on you, to rely on you, and encourage, see you lift us up and carry us on your wings as eagles. In Jesus' name, amen.